I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere. We ride here.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell in the air, currently on his way to Oregon State. And we are just tickled to have our Football Friday guys joining on a Thursday. And this is the way you got to kind of do it. We're kind of getting everybody ready. We're going to have we get a double dose of Football Friday this week. Football Thursday, and then we're doing Football Friday actually tomorrow as well. Nate Orchard, of course, of Utah fame, and Riley Nelson of BYU fame joining us here on the show. What's up, fellas? Everything good?
Life's good.
Yeah?
Complain. The football has just been insane from high school to college to the pros, and these injuries, and the injury bug is everywhere right now.
Do you actually enjoy watching games? Like, and if there's a level that you like watching, what is it? Because Scott can't even watch pros anymore because he gets too analytical. He gets too.
Well, I can't watch the pros with my family because of, you know, 7 years in the NFL, you have such a in-depth knowledge of what the NFL really is.
Yeah.
That it just taints everything, right? From the players to coaches to management. It's hard for my family
cycle,
to watch.
The media cycles around it too.
Yeah, and it's different. College I enjoy most definitely. High school without a doubt.
Fun,
we had a chance to go to Woods Cross. Got to see Riley there with his fam.
Hey, how'd it go? Did they win last week?
No.
Didn't pull
Roy,
it up.
Roy came
the
ready.
The Royals, man.
Yeah, Roy came ready to play.
They'll punch you. We've got tons to go through. Well, what's the part of the – so wait, now what do you mean the reality of the NFL? Are you talking about the business side that's hard to like forget about?
Yeah, the business side because, you know, in life if you're the first one in, the last one to leave, and you work your tail off day in and day out, by all means, at the end of the day, you want to credit those employees to say, and those people that break their backs for you and the company and an organization or in the NFL, that's not the case, right?
You're told your entire life in sports that if you work hard and you mm-hmm. produce on the field, then you are going to be the one to be rewarded with playing time and opportunity to showcase your skills. I obviously didn't make it in the NFL, but I have enough
you
people in my
people.
Network
yeah.
that is not the case. And it's an extremely tough pill to swallow. As I got into a position to where I got to know more and more pro football players and was able to listen to them talk and share their experiences, I was so surprised. Here I was on the outside looking in, being like, dude, you made it. Like, who cares if it was a cup of coffee at rookie camp? Like,
sure.
You made it.
All
and
of
then,
us just go, you got some sweet gear that first day, man.
But just how many of them were just kind of disillusioned by the whole thing. But all that glitters is not gold, right?
Most definitely. Most definitely. Like, my 3 years in Cleveland, granted, you know, you get drafted second round, dream come true, and then, you know, towards the end of the year, fire the head coach, GM, new staff, complete turnover, going into my second year, and then the same thing happens in my third year, And by then, they've drafted probably five or six defensive ends.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, you're proving yourself to management every single year why you belong. You know, the more you can do, they say, the better. So I played outside backer, defensive end, all special team phases, and it's just like it was just never enough.
On a 53-man roster, how many of those guys are like, nah, these guys are set in stone. We would never – like, they don't toy with the hearts of a certain number of guys, right? There's some guys who can write – they can punch their own ticket. But that is so few. I mean, is it five? Is it 10 guys? It's not even all the starters.
No, and that's not the case. It's what's crazy to me, and I learned this very quickly in the NFL, the people who know best who belong on the field are the players, right? The players know who they want to play next to, who they trust on Sundays, and their leadership. But management has their way of doing things and crunching numbers and saying, you know what?
Gosh.
Hey, this kid I knew back in his mom and dad back in high school and this, that, and the other, so we're going to bring him in. And it's just all – yeah, I mean, my position coach, let alone my rookie year, was he was just pushing paper the year before and didn't know a single thing about outside linebackers. And so that was my
coach.
That's
insane. That's insane.
Dennis Pitta told me to your question. He was like – of how many dudes. So he was on that Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl team. And he was like, it was Terrell Suggs, and that was it. Like, anybody else, Joe Flacco, like, the rest of that roster, Ray Rice, but that prior
to everything,
yeah, and all that. Like, they had some dogs on that roster, but at that point, it was like Terrell Suggs, and only because he was in the second year of, like, a five-year deal where they had a bunch of guaranteed money committed to him.
Right, and they so wanted him to be the new Ray Lewis.
Yeah, and he was, like, the only one. He was the only one that was, like, untouchable. The rest, it was all pawns on a chessboard.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, you guys are – hey,
what a downer. Let's go. We got football.
What are we talking about
here?
Hey,
tell me how much you guys hate football going forward. No, I mean, look.
It's the business side. The game is awesome.
It really is the business side.
I think it's tremendous insight, too. Are you kidding? Like, in the end, Scott toggles between, like, dude, I was in the best situation that I could have been, and I got drafted to the Miami Dolphins, got to sit behind Dan Marino. And at the same time, he's like, I felt so slighted. I was supposed to be the third quarterback going in that draft. I was definitely a first-round guy, and when I slipped to the second round, it was like, nah, it's crazy. And he ends up being a fourth-round guy, and he's like, I hate everybody. Everything stinks, you know. And back then it was like the nachos got cold at the party.
Yeah.
And, you know, his dad and mom, he's like, I'm just going to go back to my apartment.
Oh.
And then Coach Shula calls him at his house. He's like, Don Shula here. And he's like, yeah, right, you know. But, like, this mix of – well, I mean, because you must have spent some sleepless nights going, if I wasn't drafted to Cleveland.
100%.
There would have been, and you even could probably have that five or six franchises in your head. Like, yeah, but if I would have gone there, I'd still be in it, maybe.
Right,
you know, right.
I just look at anywhere but Cleveland. You look at the stability over my 3 years and where guys landed and stuff like that. Like, I was supposed to go first round to Pittsburgh, and I mean, their outside linebacker coach and their coordinator kept in contact with me. And next thing you know, I slip into the second round, no big deal. But then, of all places, Cleveland.
Of all places.
That's going to be 3-13, 1-15, and then 0-16. And it was like, wow.
Look, you're part of history, dude.
Part of history. Undefeated, baby.
But the thing is if that should be the name of your autobiography, you're right. What was it? It was like it had to be Cleveland or something like that. That's what it is. That's what you put it on.
I mean, you don't want to take shots at the GOATs, but like – this stat was amazing to me. Tom, you know, Eva, what was the one that Tom Brady never played a game where the Patriots were mathematically eliminated, right? And over the course of 18 years.
Yeah, that's insane.
Well, listen, that's insane. But also, the worst total defense ranking that Tom Brady ever played with was like 14 or 15. And every year he made it to the Super Bowl, that defense.
Probably top 10.
Yeah, no, the worst Super Bowl was a top 7. Every other year it was a top 5 defense.
Jeez.
And every year they made it to the Super Bowl was the number one special teams yards gained on special teams.
Wow.
So I don't say that to take away from Tom Brady, but I parrot this every chance I get the opportunity. Football is the ultimate team game. And so circumstance matter and when we're talking about the professional level, from management, so from the GMs to the coaches to the players, like you got to have it all rolling. And when it's not, it can sour the taste of the game.
You know, I get it.
We started this whole thing by talking about how was Woods Cross, right? Mm-hmm. And Coach Brody Benson and out there playing, having just lost his dad, and the Royals come down being underdogs and, you know, upset him on their home field. Like, that's the purest form of the game and it's funny because you talk to parents of high school kids, and especially if their high school kid isn't getting as many snaps as you want, and for them it sours. Here's what I'll say. The game sour – whenever the game is ending for you, whether that's high school, college, or pros, it almost – I'll just flat out say it, because I've heard about some conversations from even, like, you think about John Elway, like, rode off into the sunset. But, like, I've heard people who have heard him talk about, even he doesn't feel like his career went the way it does. And we know Tom Brady doesn't. Like, Tom Brady's sitting here talking about how he has, you know, missed regrets and all that stuff. So it's just – it's the fact that, like, when the game ends for you, that is such a bitter pill to swallow that that it's tough for all
of us. Yeah, because most of the time – because most of the time they do tell you when they're done, right? Scott's like, I was working out for years, going, okay, just give me a call, give me a call, give me a call. You know, because his contract just gets done at Cincinnati, and then they just go, crickets, you don't hear from anybody. And then you go, oh, no one cares. Like, and they're not going, how you doing, dude? How, Nate, how are things, man? How's your family? None of that.
Did you make sure to put those in index fund, that money in index funds?
Oh, sure. You had that one. You had that one warm up of the financial side of things at the very, 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 very beginning, and then after that, they're like, you're on your own. All right, let's kick off the program here. We're not going to go full cynical. I mean, there'll be a little bit of that probably sprinkled throughout, but let's jump into the program here. We're at the Warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West, in Salt Lake City. Tom Curl, of course, is standing by. We're going to chat with Tom today. Some insane deals I'm sure he's going to roll out for us. First, let's get to the cut right here on a Football Friday on a Thursday. Let's do it.
The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right. The cut brought to you by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients. No preservatives. The G2G bar, perfect for anybody who needs a quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. And also, Trajan Wealth, TRAJANWealth.com. Trajan Wealth is your local trusted financial fiduciary. All right, let's jump into this conversation here. I tossed the coin, and it was BYU that it landed on this week. We're going to chat a little bit about BYU here first. Both Friday night games, tons going on when it comes to how to prep for this game, how to prep for this game for BYU with Cincinnati coming in. A little bit of the shine coming off of that, and maybe a dose of reality too, Riles, when you think about that Kansas game and how it rolled out for BYU. 0-1 in conference play overall. I don't think people were disillusioned into thinking that they were going to be undefeated, but at the same time, you know, you go in, all the new teams are 0-1 in conference play right now, and two of the newbies get to face one another this week, and I guess that means at least somebody's going to come away with a win this week.
Welcome to the big – yeah, welcome to big leagues, fellas. I mean, look – and the thing about that for BYU, you got to be conflicted. At one point, like, you feel like maybe a little bit of an imposter because you can't manage hardly any run game, right? But, of course, they struggled to do that against the likes of Sam Houston State, right? But at the same time, you're like, well, geez, we don't give up two defensive touchdowns, right? And we had three turnovers. Two were directly returned for touchdowns by the defense. And then the third one, the offense turned around, ended up in a score. So yeah. 21 points off turnovers. You lose by 11 points. You're like, we gave the game away. But it's a mixed bag because you say you gave the game away, but also at the same time, you couldn't, you know, rule number one of all football is establish a run and stop the run, and they could not establish a run. They did a decent job, you know, stopping the run. I think the defense, it's hard to find blame in the defense. Of course, there's always elements in all three phases where you can identify that teams play better. But, look, I said this. I think for these first few years of – and that's not just this team. I just think the dynamic of the way that BYU is built and what their on-ramp into P5 world is going to be is they're going to win games they shouldn't, i.e. Arkansas. And they're going to lose games they probably shouldn't. And, you know, they were fully capable and probably should have beat that Kansas team, but they didn't.
Yeah, I think so. People did have – you know, we were chatting about this actually – who were we chatting about with it yesterday? I was chatting with PK in the office about it. He's like, you know, Kansas, I think a lot of people – it was kind of split. People had it like a – no, it's a Kansas. No, yeah. It's BYU. No, it's Kansas. Cincinnati, on the other hand – was, as he put it, and I love the analogy, that's why I keep using it, was this, that's the one that you're expecting to get par on that golf course, right? Yeah. Where you go, you mark it down, you go, I know these holes are going to be hard.
Well, there's no...
But this one, I'm supposed to get par on, and I feel like Cincinnati is that win that you're supposed to get. It's at home, it's a Friday night, this team's coming from a little bit further away. Because there's a massive difference.
And they were G5 last year just like you were.
Yes,
like, absolutely. There's no excuse there.
This is not Luke Fickle Cincinnati either. And so I think people get it. You know, we had Dan Hord, the voice of the Bearcats and the Bengals, on earlier this week. And he goes, you know, people forget. This program is amazing. You know, we were in the playoff a couple years ago. I was like, oh, like, this is very different. This is a very different team. Everything has changed. Because then I said, well, what's changed aside from the Luke Fickle? He's like, oh, no, everything has changed. Of course it has. This team is very different. And BYU has a lot to prove. How did you like these Friday night home games, though, when you played in these? Was it a little bit more juice kind of going into that conference weekend? It's kind of been a tradition for BYU to play on those Friday nights. Is it a bigger time game in that sense? Because there's a lot fewer games that you're competing with. Other people are going to be watching on TV. It just so happens to be Utah and Oregon State and BYU and Cincinnati this weekend.
Well, I loved Friday night because you could – I mean, it's close enough. It's 12 to 18 hours away from when you would have kicked off normally, so it doesn't significantly – Thursday games were rough, but Friday night games, you got to play sooner. You were – this is bad. You're about halfway through the season, so maybe some guys are feeling this, but you're like, ooh, extra day of rest. That'd be not. You're already looking on the other
right.
side to getting that extra day of rest, but it doesn't affect your prep. You feel a Friday night game, you feel like you still get the full game plan in. You feel like you're still getting your full complement of reps on that game plan. So you go in really prepared. You also know that you're not competing, so you're going to get more eyeballs because all the college football junkies are going to be watching you because you're the only show in town. Obviously not the case anymore because now between the networks, you know, there's three or four games on, but still, that's better than 30 or 40. So yeah, I mean, you always got geeked up for those. And of course, for me, just a little personal anecdote, I mean, the only reason I'm on with you guys and even still remembered at BYU was a Friday night conference game, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I lost my job. I had gotten injured. They had decided to move forward with Jake, and it just wasn't working out. We were five games into the season. We're down 11 points with 6 minutes in the third quarter. Go to Utah State, about to lose back-to-back years. First time at home in 40 years. And they're like, go try and do something.
Get a fortuitous.
And the comeback goes, it totally changed the trajectory of my college career. So you have an affinity for the Friday night games.
I was going to say, yep, you have an affinity for those Friday night games.
You betcha.
Nate, did you like the – what about the ones where you had to travel? Because Utah's doing that. And this is – Corvallis is notoriously a bad travel. You know, I mean, it's a mm-hmm. bad place. Not in the sense that – I mean, 2 years ago the Utes lost up there. Corvallis isn't an easy place to play a football game, especially when they have like a decent team, which seems to be almost every year, or at least they've come back around with Jonathan Smith. So what about the games where it's a Friday night and it's a short week and you travel?
It just depends on, you know, the time of year. Right now, not too bad, given, you know, four games in. I think the guys are still feeling good. It's just bouncing back from injuries. But, I mean, like Riley said, it makes for another day of rest after the game. And it makes it that much sweeter when you get that dub on the road, too. I mean, the crowd, the environment, Friday night, you know it's going to be electric. And with the work they just had finished in that stadium, I'm sure the crowds are going to be just itching to be in there and be loud.
So when you see this matchup for BYU, Riley, and you say, okay, Cincinnati's coming in, it's a Friday night game, and I'll ask both of you guys, too, like, you can get up for this one, too. How much pressure is there to like, okay, we got to perform immediately in conference, right? I mean, you had that experience, Nate, where it's like, hey, you're brand new to this conference. We got to show up to this thing, and we're supposed to make some waves, right? Like,
right.
And we also don't want to fall flat, but also the expectations isn't that you're going to come out and start winning the conference right off the bat. But it seems like Coach Witt had you guys dialed up in those first couple of seasons to kind of really be prepared for how much of the rigor there was, because it didn't take long for you guys to start winning in the conference.
No, and you look at the bodies and the bodies of work and the players that we had coming out of the Mountain West, and the biggest thing was just the mentality on both sides of the ball, especially defensively, and that's where, you know, it really helped us throughout the year, just setting us up for success and putting our offense, no matter who the quarterback was, in a good position. But, you know, regardless, playing a Friday night game, you want to make sure that everybody's on top of their film study and making sure your players are doing that at any opportunity that they have throughout the week, you know, along with school. But you lose a day, obviously, in preparation, so it speeds up the process of install when it comes to offense,
right,
defensive playbook and everything like that, and going through who your opponent really is. Sorry.
Another little tidbit about Friday games. I actually loved, and granted, they don't hardly have any classes on Fridays anymore, but the vibe of, like, getting up on a Friday and having to hit a class or whatever.
Oh, boy.
No, that gave major Friday Night Lights vibes to
me. Oh, yeah,
like,
that's
I was
true.
Back in my high school group.
You're wearing your jersey
so
around Provo.
It. Yeah, right, sort of thing. So you talk about jockeying for conference. I don't, I was 2 years Mountain West last 2 years independence, but and my years as starter were in independence. So more for me though, it was like that Friday. It's like we got to win this, otherwise, unless we want to be playing in front of 30,000 people for the rest of the season. We got three more home games.
Oh,
like
know.
you got to keep them engaged. And I do think BYU, like, I don't think they're going to lose it that much because the excitement of the Big 12 is going to carry them. But, like, this offense, particularly that running back and that O-line, like, this is probably in the minds and eyes of a lot of fans, like, it's now or never. Otherwise, you know, they're going to be written off as, you know, to use the old, be written off as bums kind of.
Yeah,
If they can't get it done against a Cincinnati team that everybody expects them to get it done against.
Right. Yeah, Yeah, and we'll chat about this a little bit later, too, because Nate Johnson brought up the fact that the Boo Birds came out last week at Utah, and I thought, what a hard spot for a kid like that to be in, right? One where I think we're finding out that he probably wasn't getting all the reps in practice last week that he thought he was going to be getting if he were going to be a starter, which he ended up being. And that just shorts a kid, right? I mean, it puts him kind of a little bit behind the eight ball. Let's talk a little bit about Cincinnati, though, Riles, because and let's talk a little bit about giving up two touchdowns. Like, you've been on defenses that score during games and just how much of a gut punch it is for that other team. And last week, Kearney Reed returns one for a touchdown. That wrapped that was the entire game because there was no offense going on. In BYU's case, when you score multiple times, I would imagine it happened maybe a couple times maybe when you're at Utah. I don't know the exact stats. But when you score a defensive touchdown, it's like the biggest middle finger you can give the other team. Like, we'll score on you on defense and on offense. And in BYU's case, like, it was the exact difference, basically, in the game. They got the pick six and then the fumble that turned into the scoop and score, and then the turnover on top of it. Like, but even just the two direct returns for touchdowns changed the entire game, and that was it.
Right. I mean, there's nothing more demoralizing, especially in UCLA's case, right? First play, true freshman in that stadium, and you throw a pick six. And then just to see the offense just slowly put things together, and just from BYU's perspective, right? Like, you hate to put your team in that situation and to, you know, compromise field position one, but then to know that they take it back for a TD, that's just even more of a gut punch.
So BYU is, again, first series of the game, hit on Parker Kingston. Can I just say, maybe I'm getting soft and weak in my old age, but I didn't want to open myself up on
Twitter. Are you going to go full targeting talk right now?
Yes. Because listen, that is such a weak take. BYU fans, if we're going to be in P5, we have to be P5 fans.
I thought you were going
to. Opportunity to see hits like that in football now are so rare. So when someone actually does, listen, he's on a fly sweep. The ball had been handed to him. He has now carried the ball for 14 or, you know, 15, almost 20 yards.
Yeah.
And a dude comes up to meet him in the hole.
This is not a bang bang play.
Oh my goodness. Like, get ready. And he deserved to be rocked and have the ball jarred loose. I mean, and it sucks that it hurt our team, but, like, come on, man.
Okay,
that was so weak.
I thought when you said it was going to go soft.
Well, no, that's why I said
you were going to go soft.
No, that's why I said I couldn't do it out on Twitter, because Cougar Nation, who were all in their feelings during that game, would have, like, lamb blasted me. But now that I have the mic and none of them can chirp back at me, unless they want to come down to the warehouse, in which case
he's happy to do it.
Yeah, well, no, in which case they're going to come down and they're going to be all angry, and then they're going to see the amazing deals and they're going to leave happy.
But Nate will stand up and go, "Did you have something you wanted to say?"
But listen, like. There still is an element. Football is – part of the reason why football is great is because it is physical. Did it need to be cleaned up a little bit because guys straight up, like, lives were being put on the line back in, you know, back in the traditional days? Yeah, a lot of that needed to be cleaned up. But, like, when a dude goes body to body in the hole as a ball carrier and you just get wrecked, own the fact that you got wrecked and move on.
Look, and he got knocked out of the game, and his bell was rung. And I'll tell you, when I saw that happen, I'm watching the replay, and I went, I'm not going to put up with the idea that they're like, and everybody starts suddenly everybody becomes a replay official. They go, "Now I want you to watch here the launch," and that's what we're talking about, the launching at the. And I'm like, I'm not hearing any of it. He gave him a forearm shiver like it was old school, like boom, right.
Here's what happened in that whole set. Happened to me against Nevada. I'll never forget it. I was my freshman year, so I'm a true freshman playing for Utah State. I'm in like that was probably like my fourth start. By that time, I kept I'd been hit, but I had been prepared for most start. Anyway, I get up in the pocket. I'm moving up in the pocket. And one of the tackles who's engaged in a block, like, grabs my jersey. So I, like, spin out of it thinking I got all this time and space, and I don't. As I spin out of it, the DN had gotten free off his block. You know, he had tried to run the rim, so a wide rush, and I had tried to step up in the pocket, so the D-tackle's got me. And I'm trying to, like, escape in that, like, B-gap inside, and he gets off his block, and he puts the crown of his helmet on my sternum. Like, I thought – I literally, like, thought my – like, the front – like, my sternum touched my spine.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what I mean?
It's like in a cartoon.
And I got my – I got rocked, and I know Kingston's a freshman. He's a young player. He just had never been hit that way, and he was not expecting it.
And he got beat.
And when you get beat, own it and move on. And honestly, you want to talk about head injury or safety or things like that? I've watched that play, seven ways till Sunday. Maybe there was some head contact there. I think the dude has a bruised sternum, maybe some cracked ribs, and that's why he's out, and that's why they're talking. Because have they officially said he's in concussion protocol? I don't think they have.
I don't think so, and it is interesting now
because
you don't.
Because that's the other thing is stop making head contact the scapegoat of all injuries.
I like that you're going this way.
Just own that you got rocked,
Riley. Look, you
and wear it as a badge of honor. You can because you can say when he comes back and he will again. Like he'll take that fly swoop and next time he'll juke the dude and take it 60.
Hey,
and that makes it all the more sweet.
Riley gets the Vince Lombardi Award for today. Just like tough nose, like it's football, kids. You're gonna hit each other, and if you can't take it, then you shouldn't belong there.
Hopefully, Jerry will forgive me. That
oh, he's watching it. No, Nate's watching it. He's watching the replay.
that was my impassioned rant. I know, Jerry. I know I took us into the break time, but
I love it. No. That's what we're allowed to do. And Tom's on the phone here anyway. Now, see, you're watching it, and you keep watching the replay. Any play when someone gets hit hard, when you go back, you're doing yourself a disservice when you do the slow-mo on everything. You go, look at this hit in slow motion. Because you'll go, oh, I think his helmet almost kind of touched the ear hole right there. Oh, like, yeah. We got a targeting call. And I thought the referees were
you
right.
You watch that thing live, that dude comes in. That dude comes in and with his shoulder, like, he's in tackling position now. The thing was.
Did you see the corner? Do you know what his name is? Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant.
But C-O-B-I-E, which I thought.
Well, they could. Because his parents, C-O-B-E-E. His parents didn't want to disrespect Mama, right? So we're here at the warehouse, 1825 South 300 West right here in Salt Lake City.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Friday, and it's time to talk some football. This is Football Friday on The Zone, presented by Utah First Credit Union. Get a judgment-free auto loan at utahfirst.com. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Double dose this week of Football Friday. You get a Football Thursday and a Football Friday as we get you ready for Oregon State and Utah up in Corvallis, BYU versus Cincinnati in Provo. So many things to chat about. Joining us, of course, as always, Scott Mitchell in the air on his way to Corvallis here at the warehouse in Salt Lake City. Riley Nelson, former BYU quarterback, and Nate Orchard, the mayor of Sac Lake City himself. And, dudes, it's an interesting time to be a football fan of both of these schools because there's a weird moment right now for Utah, I think, too, where They're 4-0, and it's like the most nervous 4-0 I've ever seen a team. Is that weird for me? Because the reality is that everyone feels so weird about the offense, weird about the Cam Rising situation, that it's almost like they felt like they skated by these last couple of games, kind of got away with it a little bit. But like, there's something to be said for the fact that this team is 4-0, and they keep trying to focus on that, but it's almost like no one believes them.
Yeah, because they really haven't been tested or yet to really prove themselves offensively in comparison to Washington, Oregon,
right.
USC.
They played better teams, I think, even than those guys, but they're not putting up much points.
And I couldn't agree more, but it's the fact that they aren't putting up points like some of these other teams, you know, people look at them as like, oh, they just kind of lucked out. But at the end of the day, defense wins championships, and our defense has helped out tremendously up until this point, allowing us to sit 4-0. And as we had the Bryson Barnes and Nate Johnson back and forth in the beginning, then we had the keys off to Nate to take over these last two games. He's just getting his bearings. And I know I listened to his interview a little bit yesterday with you and Scott.
Don't you feel like it was a guy talking like he was going to be playing a lot?
Most definitely. Most definitely. And to hear, you know, how the reps were split in practice, you can understand that. But Scott's right. As a quarterback, you want to be greedy. And you want all the reps you can get in practice, because that's
absolutely
important. The chemistry and the timing with your receivers, all that plays into effect once it's time to play ball. But, I can see where people are coming from, and I'm honestly shocked, too, to see where they're sitting at 4-0. But our defense has been phenomenal, and Nate has just done a good job of managing our offense and figuring out himself and what he's really capable of and where these coaches can trust him as we get further and further into conference play.
And I don't think anybody wants to – no one wants to be told, hey, you just manage the team. Because it's basically like saying, just don't screw it up. And, like, you know, the idea of –
well, did you see
it's the opposite of aggressive.
Yeah, did you see Dan Orlovsky talk about Zach? Came to Zach Wilson's defense a little bit.
What did he say?
I don't want to get off Utah, but I
no,
will
it's it's
say.
It's
just the
sense.
Psychology. It's the thing might be happening a little bit with Nate. And I'll tell you this: like Nate's era of Utah, that was going on. The OC felt like was in a position of like, don't screw this up for our defense and our special teams, and so was the quarterback. Right. The Travis Wilson years, the 7 years, seven offensive coordinators. Obviously, getting Ludwig back is—it's funny. Ludwig's the OC that Kyle Whittingham only is the only one he ever loved, right? And it's good that they're back together, right? Because the rest of them was getting—you know—it was getting chewed up and spit out in a different one every year. But part of it was because I think, and I think part of it is has matured a little bit, but. Or back to Orlovsky was talking about Zach Wilson, like it ain't all on him. Like it's he talked about listening to his post game interview with the Jets radio crew, the Jets play by play, and he's like, I listened to him talk about how his job as a quarterback is to take care of the offense, to not get pre snap penalty, to take care of the football, to not get pre snap penalties. He's like, there was nothing in there about putting up points,
plays,
making plays, leading. Jeez. It was all about, you know, like battening down the hatches. And he's like, so someone has totally messed with that kid's head. No wonder he can't go out on Sundays and make a play. And look, Nate Johnson's not to that point. I mean, Zach's third-year player in the NFL, right?
Nate's the future for sure.
Nate's the future before. But the bottom line is he's a freshman who, up until being thrust into action, spent his time as the fourth dude on the depth chart. Like, obviously Cam was hurt, but it went Cam, then Barnes, then Rose, then him. Like, you want to talk, there are no reps, there are no programs in the country where reps trickle down to the fourth string. So there's some of that. You talk about, I think it's because Utah's expectations are with Cam Rising, they think they can, and rightfully so, with that defense and with Cam Rising leading it, it doesn't matter how many points Oregon and Washington and USC are putting up, they will go in and compete with those dudes. But without them, even as good as that defense is, I think the reason why everybody's nervous is with no end in sight or no definite date by which they're going to get Cam Rising back, they're like, our defense is going to do good against those guys, but like even 21 against that Washington offense is going to be a major victory. Can we muster 21 on the other side of the football? And I think that's why people are sitting at 4-0 but still not feeling awesome about it.
Yeah, I just want to see Nate Johnson get loose. Like, I want to see that speed.
Right.
I want to see him get out of the pocket, make those throws down the field. Just let him do his thing. I think these coaches have him overthinking and keeping him in the box.
The most this week he was just like, the guy is so dialed in. He's a guy who's ready. Mm-hmm. but it's like they haven't really told him, okay, we'll allow you to do it yet.
Exactly. You know what I mean? You guys remember what the play calls – so when he got given the reins at Baylor, do you guys remember – and he went 7 for 8.
He went 7 for 8, yeah.
Do you guys remember those passing plays?
I do remember. Was it just all kind of this?
It was finding Mikey Matthews in kind of Matthews, the soft spot, yeah, of the defense.
A little bit, but he was on the move on half of them.
Okay,
half of them were boots, yeah, or straight rollouts. Boots and straight rollouts, and then the rest were, you know, just kind of a lot of pre-snap recognition. Get the ball out of your hand, right? You got one cues. It's 1 to 2 post-snap, 1 to 2 to run. Quick game management. How much of that did you see against UCLA? Not that much. So that's my thing. Here's my recipe. If I were in that offensive staff room, I'd say, first of all, whatever our best QB run game is, has to be in the game plan. Who cares? We can't protect him. We got to let the wild horse run. If we lose him, then we lose him. But like, that's what's going to help this kid build his confidence, start making plays, and do that. That's first and foremost. And then second, whatever we got to do to help move this kid is best on the run. So let's move the pocket, sprint outs, boots, play actions, and kind of clean up the window for this guy. Not have him just straight up drop back, staring at a defense trying to read it. And if you can accomplish those two things, I think you see a different Nate Johnson.
I couldn't agree more. And they got the most athletic offensive line in the conference, probably in the country. These athletes, I mean. Let them get out in space. Let them run down the field. Let them lead block for the quarterback on a power. Let them just
do boot protections, right?
Exactly.
Like, that's fun for a guard. Like, you do a play action and he comes around like he's leading up,
right,
on maybe a counter, but instead he's coming out and his job is to pick up first threat as the QB settles into that kind of outside hip of the guard.
Oh, they got to love
that. That's awesome.
If you are Jonathan Smith and you're the head coach of Oregon State, here's what Jonathan Smith had to say about this Utah team they're facing this weekend.
Well, you know, you go off of what they've done in 4 games on tape, and that guy's a good player. 13, he creates. You can see his confidence level getting more and more. He's athletic to extend the play. Obviously, Cam Rising, yeah, he's there and has a long history of being a really good player and winning games, but hadn't seen it this year on tape. So preparing for these 4 games we've seen, and then there's not going to be a huge adjustment because you look at Rising's skill set, he can create a whole lot similar to 13.
And what do you looking at Utah's defense, which is, once again, looks really solid, what do they consistently do that makes them so successful?
They do everything well. I mean, this guy is physical at the line of scrimmage. They play the scheme. They don't give you anything easy. They don't bust out there. They're not giving you free access throws. They challenge you. They're athletic at linebacker. They got pass rush ability. They don't have to blitz, but they're going to blitz when they want to. I mean, it's a long history, and they're playing dominant defense right now.
And finally, any significant injuries that we need to be aware of going into next week?
Nope, not significant. Definitely bumps, bruises type thing, but no one long-term came out of the game.
Coach.
So Jonathan Smith and the Oregon State Beavers losing that game up at Wazoo last week, and it was, I think, one of the beat writers for Oregon State this week told us on our show, look, that was your mulligan. And it's tough to take it against Wazoo, but Wazoo's better than I think people gave
him
credit for.
Cam Ward's a fun player. He reminds me of Charlie. I wasn't even around really for Charlie Ward, but I did know about that whole deal going down at Florida State. And Cam Ward is like the reincarnation.
Mm. But on top of it, like, they came out and they did exactly what has happened to BYU the last couple of weeks, which is they just got up early on him. And in this case, they just couldn't run him down. You know, a little bit of it happened up at Utah State last week, too.
Yeah, Beavers scored 21 points in the fourth quarter.
I think they have a better team overall, but they were in the Palouse. They got socked in the mouth so quickly at the very beginning that even if you are good, you got to, like – and that run game is intense. And I think and I look at it and I go, this is one of those matchups. Oregon State is a sneaky team. And they just lost to Wazoo. Like, these guys' backs are against the wall. I know we hear that kind of cliche all the time. People have them written down for that dark horse team to be kind of giving the business to Washington and to Oregon. And so when they lose to Wazoo, that's not on plan. And so then you go, all right, this team is going to be fighting for something a little bit different. And that run game is always good. That O-line is always good. And this Beavers team, the problem is that now, speaking of guys who they haven't really gotten into a rhythm yet at quarterback, DJ Ungulele is going, I don't know. So what's my role here? Am I handing the ball off 38 times?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to throw the ball 21 times, 19 times? And he kind of got loose in those first few games, like really like throwing the football a lot. But then this last week is actually more, I think, closely resembles what they're going to be asking of in the future. And it's, and this is not a throwing football team first. They're always going to run the football first. So I wonder where, like, where they're going to go from here, because you know what Oregon State is. You know exactly what they are, and you cannot lose this game up in Corvallis this weekend.
Yeah, to go 17 for 34, 198 yards, you know, one touchdown and a pick. DJ is a phenomenal athlete. But on that interception, you saw how Washington had a four-man rush with the stunts up front. They were able to get home in his face, allow him to throw a duck in the air for an interception. It just plays into Utah's dominance on their defensive side with Jonah Ellis sitting at 5.5 sacks. I mean, the athlete that DJ is, he's going to have his hands full with our defensive line up front, which I'm excited for that matchup, and let alone their run game. These guys have been phenomenal on the ground, averaging 250 yards. It's with our top 10 defense, it's going to be quite the matchup to look for. I can't wait for that.
When you see this this matchup with the Oregon State, these guys are tough too. I mean, Oregon State has always been kind of that. That's what they get. It's like, hey, you guys aren't the flashy offensive team in Oregon. That's the Ducks, man. But the Beavers are as hardcore as it gets when it comes. I mean, they get dudes in, especially an offensive line, and that gives them a chance. In any case, if you have a really really good offensive line, that's how they won the game up there in Corvallis 2 years ago. They absolutely blasted them on both sides of the ball in the trenches.
It's going to be a great matchup. And if I was talking earlier about, like, there's still a place for physicality in football, and that was more in relation about everybody wants to cry targeting anytime someone gets wrecked. But no, this is going to be, yeah, it's going to be intense. It's going to be a great matchup up there.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We got more to go. We have our What Are the Odds around the corner. We have tons of stuff to jump into here. It is a double dose of a Football Friday starting on a Thursday this week here on the KSL Sports Zone. We'll jump in. When we come back, we'll chat with Tom. Also, amazing deals. You heard the queen deals on the adjustable beds with the IntelliBed mattress. How about the king deals coming up? So stick around. More to go, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
What are the odds?
Okay, sir, the bet is to you.
All in, baby!
You'll know exactly. More or less. What's going to happen?
This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, brought to you by G2G Bars, among many other folks, including ReMedical. Men ReMedical is Utah's only physician-owned and operated wellness clinic, offering ED treatment that is discreet, non-invasive, and customized to your need. ReMedical, renew, restore, reclaim. Visit ReMedical.com today. So what are the odds? Goes like this. Gentlemen, I give you a scenario. You give me a 0 to 100% chance that thing will or will not happen. What are the odds we see Cam Rising taking snaps in that game on Friday at Oregon State? We'll start with you, Nate. We'll see what you think about that.
Zero.
Zero?
I'm sick of these games. I'm just, you know what?
You don't even want to guess anymore.
I don't even want to guess anymore. They're just teasing us each and every week. Oh, Cam, Coach Witt, Cam's taking a lot of reps, and he's full go.
What about the Halloween move they pull? They go, I want you to put on this costume like you're playing. And then he comes out, he throws some footballs around.
Everybody's like, oh.
But then I heard this week, I mean, Nate Johnson was like, I said, well, when did you know? When did you find out? And he's like, yeah, Thursday. And so then why roll out Cam on a Saturday morning and go, oh, he's taking reps? Because then the crowd got kind of a little bit excited. And I get you're trying to still kind of do the ruse thing for a while, but
right, and they're just playing the game, right? Like, you want to keep your opponent on their toes.
That's a little bit of an edge.
Who they need to prep for? Right. Is it Cam Rising coming back, or is it Nate Johnson? You go back and you look at footage from last year when Cam was a quarterback throughout the year. Like, okay, this is what they're going to do offensively. These are the route combinations to look for, play calls. This is how they're going to run. Unless they have Nate Johnson, then okay, this is what we're going to do on defense. This is how we'll play him. And then you don't find out till morning of, or you know.
I'm gonna be a little bit more. I'm gonna give it a Cole Bishop 8% chance, because there's still that little something where they go.
His number is 7, right? Like Rising's number.
Cam, Cam is 7.
So 7.
7 for you. Because you could see Witt going, oh no, he's been healthy all week. We knew he was gonna be the guy, and winking at you and going, we fooled all of you again. Okay, very quickly here. Riles, what do you think BYU – what are the odds BYU's got a 100-yard rusher? I tried to say that without laughing, but that's kind of where my head's at right now. 100-yard rusher versus Cincinnati. By the way, their strength, their D-line.
Yeah, exactly. With the strength of Sam Houston as well, right? And we know how that worked out. High teens. Let's give him Peyton Manning 18.
Oh, okay.
Now listen, I'm going to bump that up to a 38% chance that they just get 100 yards rushing as a team.
Total. Okay.
Let's forget like one ball carrier. Let's just try and get there all together.
Was it 9 last week?
Yep.
Okay. Just checking. All right, let's get to Tom Curl.
A 10X improvement.
Let's get to Tom Curl. We're at the warehouse. Tom, you've been rolling out deals already with the Queen adjustable mattress and the IntelliBed mattress. What was that? What did you say that was?
I'm going to reiterate.
Let's hear it, because then I want to hear the King deal too.
We've never done a Queen adjustable bed.
For the number you just
for
said.
For less than $899.
Right.
I'm doing a Queen adjustable head up and – not just head up. Head up and foot up. For $599 with an 8-inch gel-infused memory foam mattress. And if you want to upgrade that to an IntelliBed, I can do it $1099 and $1299. If you want a G3 like yours, I'm going to do it for $1299.
Boom.
That's crazy.
That is insane.
Now listen, I'm going to do it with a King's Down. We were selling King's Down starting at $1099. Up to $1,499. I'm going to do it. Your choice of a King's Down, $899 or $999.
For the Queen and the King?
Queen.
Or for the Queen? The two different levels.
Two different classes.
Yeah.
A or AAA.
Okay. All right.
The AAA is very similar latex, very similar to the best IntelliBed.
Right, sure. Okay.
Now, Kings. Nate, you got to pay attention.
I'm locked in. Let's go.
When I get done, you might be too poor to pay attention.
Okay.
I'm going to do a King deal that you've never heard.
All right.
And you've heard crazy deals.
All right.
I'm going to do, do you need Cal King or regular King?
Regular, come on. Regular.
Regular.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to start with the Cal King deal. Split Cal King, 8-inch, aloe infused gel memory foam mattress.
Aloe infused, wow.
This is a $2,900 mattress with a $1,200 base.
Okay.
So if
$4,000 deal.
$4,600 that will go on sale for $2,999. I'm going to do it for
$999. Whoa. Ooh. Let's go.
Tom's feeling generous today.
I'm going to do a King. Right. What's the cheapest King you've ever heard of? Split King.
The Split King. I'd probably go... That I've seen you do probably like $19.99.
Cheapest I ever heard, I think, was like $3.99.
He got it. I'm going to do a 10-inch.
Okay.
Dr. Oz. Mm. Dr. Oz is made by M. Lilly.
Okay.
So the same mattress that Scott is sleeping on.
Sure.
Except Scott got a 14-inch.
Okay.
This is a $4,000 mattress setup with $2,800 base setup. I'm going to do the entire thing. Sit down, Riley.
All right, here we go.
Get your wallet out.
Yep.
Get your wallet out.
$12.99.
Mm. Okay.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
And free $99 delivery for you.
Woo! All right.
Boom.
There we go. Tom, there are the deals. If you want to get to know these deals a little bit more, you can come down 1825 South 300 West. That's 1825 South 300 West here in Salt Lake City, east of Costco, north of the Sam's Club. Easy enough to find. These are deals you're not going to get anywhere else, and it's certainly going to be only the Salt Lake location of the warehouse. So come in and get it this weekend. You hear the deals. Come down, grab some candy or some jazz gear. We've got more to go around the corner. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.